Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for December 8th, 2024. We're in the Hebraic calendar month of Kislev. So Sally will begin with the blowing of the shofar.
Isn't it December 9th?
Is it?
Yes.
December 9th. I'm a day behind myself. So December 9th. So,
let the call begin.
Thank you. Glory to God. You know, tonight we come together to praise the Lord for his goodness and his unmerited favor towards us. We come together to strengthen the body of Christ as iron sharpening iron. We come together to confess our needs for Jesus, to guide us, direct us, work in and through us as we labor in his vineyard, standing as light in the darkness of a world lost in sin and in need of laborers in the fields which are white for the harvest. I want to start this evening reading the red letter words out of chapter 6 of John. So just drink in what Jesus is saying in the face of feeding 5,000, walking on the sea, and talking about his authority. Where shall we buy bread that those may eat? Make the people sit down. And after he'd fed the 5,000, he said, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Then as he was walking across, as they were in the boat, he walking across the sea, and he said, it is I. Do not be afraid. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves that were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me, I will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He goes on to affirm to the Jews who complained about him. He said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. I have come down from heaven. Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is a bread that comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit which gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. And he said to his 12, do you also want to go away? Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? I start out with reading of Jesus' words to us tonight, because we so often get so distracted and fettered in the what's going on in the world, the speculations of pundits and prophets and folks who are saying, look here, look there, what's happening in today? You know, where's the world going? Where's America going? What's going to happen with the rattling of sabers in Ukraine and in Russia? What's happening with the scandal within the church and the Daystar network? What's going to happen with Trump's transition team? And the truth is, life is in the Word of God. Life is in Jesus Christ. And if we keep the main thing, I think our compass stays to true north. Our heart stays centered. The restlessness of the speculation of the fears and the anxieties that we face fall away. You know, this week, a friend of mine is a pastor, and she had what she calls big church. So there are home churches, two or three home churches in our community. And she had a what she calls a big church event. So it was festivities and, you know, like a potluck and preaching and communion, etc. And months ago, I'd asked her, I said, how can I agree with you? How can I come alongside you? And she said, pray. And that was having been through serious disease myself, I know what that meant. It was like it was putting a hand up to go, don't get too close. Just pray for me, you know. And it's really important. You want people beside you and around you who can agree with you for your full healing and restoration, not people who come alongside you and go, oh, no, what's going on? You're going to die. You got this terminal disease, you know. So she's a strong believer. But out of it, so that was wonderful. She did really well. She had some team folks working on stuff. And she said, you know, on Sunday, we're not going to do service, but we're going to have leftovers from from the big church. So if anyone wants to come over and have fellowship, do so. So I normally go to a different church, but I was prompted to come along. And I came a little late. And when I got there, she was laying on the couch. Everyone else was, you know, around talking, doing whatever else. But she was laying on the couch, and I'm going, wow, that was a little surprising. And they laughed because they said, oh, she wondered where you were and was asking people to give you a call because you're late. Anyway, so I knelt down next to the couch and I was chatting with her. And, you know, she starts to share how cancer has taken over her body. It's opened her collar and you could see on her neck was like all sorts of symptoms of the cancer coming to the surface. It was cancer or some form of parasites or something, I can't say. But I'm telling you this story because she is a very solid believer in Jesus. She's a very solid, totally convinced that she will live and not die. Her doctors have told her, go home, we can't do anything for you, you're going to die. And she goes, yeah, well, we're all going to die. And he goes, no, you're going to die. And she goes, no, I'm going to live, and I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. So there is a scripture I want to take us to reflect on not only our own mortality, but more importantly, what it means to die to ourself and to live as Christ. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans. Go to Romans 6, if you would. And we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up at verse 3, although I might start at the beginning. Let's see. Now we're going to go to 3. Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? How often do you hear people preach or teach on the baptism into Jesus' death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. As you can all attest to, becoming born again, being a new creature in Christ, recognizing that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new, part of those old things that pass away is our flesh, our sin nature, our emotional baggage, our mental baggage, the things that we put our thoughts and our attention on, which aren't uplifting, aren't holy, aren't godly, but we might have learned them as kids. We might have learned them from defending ourselves in relationships that were problematic and intense. But the point of what I'm drawing to here is, here I have a sister in Christ who is literally going through a baptism into his death. She's alive. She's in there. She's gone, I'm going to overcome this thing. This is my flesh, which is dying. But the life that I live is the life of Jesus Christ living through me. And I don't mean to belabor this, but just a little humor about it. So she's saying, yeah, she says, I'm starting to lose my balance a little bit. And so I'll walk into a wall Or I'm driving my car and, you know, it's like my depth perception isn't right. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, maybe you just got the perspective wrong. Jesus said, for those of us who believe, he says, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater things than these. And I said, maybe if you reframed your bumping into the wall, you could stop and ask Jesus, hey, how do I walk through this wall, Lord? So anyway, I offer that as a something for us to ponder. We are going through one of the most intense spiritual warfares in, at least in my life, and perhaps planetarily. We are going, the forces against God are so kicking and screaming right now. They're boxed in a corner, and they will, in my opinion, will not just give up nicely and go, oh, okay, you guys win. I don't think that's what we've got, we're stepping into. But we do have God's grace and we have his mercy. I believe we walked straight in the unmerited favor of God when Donald Trump got elected. For a country that's aborted 65 million of her children, for a country that is so cold and callous and uncaring about the lost children amongst us, the children that are sold into sex trafficking, the children that we allow over our border, and mysteriously 300,000 of them just disappear in our midst. These things are serious areas of neglect as a people and a nation, and yet God has been so merciful to us to give us a hope of leadership that doesn't just lead us into the pit. So my last scriptural reflection before we look at the week that was, I wanted us to turn to 2 Corinthians and go to 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What God's brought to my awareness this week is I just cannot do what I see him call me to do in my own strength. I see my friend who's contending with cancer. She cannot do this in her own strength. I see a patriot member of our republic who is paying stupid tax in jail for a previous behavior, and he can't do this in his own strength. He's fighting against his frustration. He's fighting against his anger. And yet he is salt and light in that jail. He has the potential to radiate the love of Jesus Christ and to let go of his frustration, let go of his anger, and accept what circumstance he's in and be an encourager to men in there who have zero clue of who Jesus is, zero clue of God's goodness. Those are my opening thoughts and musings for this week. I'd like to bring to the table my brother Bruce Dietler to give us a state of the state, state of the nation, state of the world in the week that was. Brother Bruce.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God and all that. It was a extremely busy week. If we look at the news on a given day, we get a very, very small perspective of what is going on globally in a larger sense other than that given day. When I look at this and compile this for what has happened in a week, it is absolutely jaw-dropping. So I say that to say that there is a whole lot. I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but as Robert was saying, the main thing we want to keep our hearts and minds set on is, you know, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things, not what I'm going to run by you right now. But this is what's going on in the world. This is food for prayer against the works of darkness that are taking place, and for the victory that's already been won by Yeshua in our behalf. So as I run through this commentary, I will run through it. Chaos is starting to erupt all over the world. The world is out of control. Here we go. Martial law was declared in South Korea, then rescinded 6 hours later after massive protest. President there is likely to be removed by parliament. Police have opened a treason case against the president. This is South Korea. They are an ally of the United States. Number two, civil unrest raging in the streets of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia after the current government has abandoned their years-long effort to join NATO. Russia may be facing now civil war in Georgia because of this. In the meanwhile, in Syria, in the space of 1 week, rebel forces attacked the regime of President Bashar al-Assad, captured the major cities of Aleppo and Hama, and by Sunday morning had taken Damascus and toppled the regime. Assad is said to have fled the country and has now been granted asylum in Russia along with his family. Russia abandoned him due to their likely involvement in Ukraine. Iran has abandoned him. Hezbollah has abandoned him. They've got other things going on. They can't be propping up Syria. So he was left on his own, and the void was filled by the rebels. The rebels stormed the Iranian embassy in Damascus as well, as Iran has supported Assad against the rebels. Israel is now in the process of totally destroying Syrian air defenses, military bases, defense systems, chemical weapons stockpiles, intelligence, military, and government structures. They're bombing the tar out of Syria. The U.S. has announced that it will not intervene in the civil war, but that the U.S. forces will remain in eastern Syria. There are something like 900 U.S. troops in eastern Syria. However, since the overthrow, U.S. forces have bombed and attacked at least 75 locations throughout Syria, which they say are al-Qaeda strongholds and yada, yada, yada. And to prevent al-Qaeda from taking part in the power vacuum which has developed there in the country. In the meanwhile, Iranian-backed Shiite forces coming across into Syria from Iraq were attacked by a U.S. A-10 Warthog aircraft with more than 50 soldiers killed in strafing rounds. So you got the Iranians, you got the Iraqis, you got the U.S., you got Syria, you got all sorts of folks tussling there in Syria at the moment. In the meanwhile, Turkey-backed militia, now you got Turkey coming down from the north, have now entered into Syria in an operation to erode Kurdish control over northern Syria. Syria is in a mess. The French government has collapsed this week after Progressive Prime Minister Barnier lost a no-confidence vote after trying to cut government spending and raise taxes to fix France's falling public finances. The French President Macron announced on Thursday he will remain in office until 2027 when his five-year term ends. He added that he would appoint a new prime minister within days. In Great Britain, a no-confidence vote has been held. John Starmer will be removed. Nigel Farage is in strong position to replace him, and Elon Musk is sent to pump 100 million euros into his election bid. Also in the UK, they are now, get this one, they are now paying wind farms $1.3 billion to shut down when it's windy because the grid isn't equipped to handle as much energy as they can produce. So they're paying them to shut down, and the people in the UK are having to pay for them to shut down, to not produce energy. Get that. In eastern Ukraine, Russian troops have seized at least 10 villages and settlements in roughly as many days. Moscow is pressing on with slow but steady advances that continue to put pressure on Ukraine authorities to start ceasefire talks. The Romanian Constitutional Court has annulled the presidential election vote in that country and has declared a do-over after the quote-unquote far-right candidate, think Trump, far-right candidate came out on top with 67% of the vote. It is said that this is a coup staged by NATO, think Russia, 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 because they say this far-right individual is supported by Russia, and they don't want nations to return to conservatives. Meanwhile, the Mexican president, after Trump's tariff threat, has said yes, sir, to Trump and has crushed two immigrant caravans that were on their way to the United States. And in Argentina, President Javier Milei is ending free social benefits for migrants. Now think of this for America. He is ending free social benefits for migrants. As part of his ongoing pro-Argentinian agenda, he will be ending free health care for foreigners and automatically deporting foreigners who commit crimes. Suppose that would be a good policy for our country? Meanwhile, in the United States, this is a good one. Elon Musk has launched a school in Texas. According to documents of a Musk-funded nonprofit, the pre-kindergarten Montessori school, which has been in the works since last year, received its initial permit from the Texas child care regulator last Thursday, paving the way for Musk to start building out ambitious STEM-focused education plans that could eventually entail multiple independent K through 12 schools and even a college within the state. Now, just as a point of interest, U.S. government schools spend $16,000 per student annually and fail miserably. There is room for some good schools in this country. The U.S. government has spent $151 billion on illegal immigration in 2023. On Wednesday, in broad daylight, UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson was executed mafia-style in New York City by a masked gunman using a pistol equipped with a silencer. They have apparently arrested this individual today in Altoona, Pennsylvania, at a McDonald's restaurant while he was eating breakfast. In Miami, home sales have plummeted 48% from their pandemic peak. FEMA housing vouchers have now ended in North Carolina, leaving vulnerable families living in tents during freezing weather. At this same time, however, during his visit to Angola this past week, Biden pledged more money overseas, announcing a $600 million investment for a major African railway project, along with $1 billion to help African nations rebuild their homes hit by, get this, natural disasters.
Jeez.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has nixed Biden's $24 billion aid request for Ukraine, and Johnson has said, we will not continue to fund the Ukraine war in the next Congress. However, $7 billion more is being pushed out to Ukraine in the next 45 days. Since the Russian invasion in February of 22, U.S. has committed more than $62 billion worth of security assistance to Ukraine. Back on a good note, Trump has nominated Peter Navarro as senior counselor for trade and manufacturing. Navarro was released from prison in July after serving a four-month prison sentence for defying a congressional subpoena for the partisan January 6 committee. During Trump's first term of office, Navarro helped Trump renegotiate unfair trade deals like NAFTA and the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. On Thursday, a magnitude 7.3 earthquake struck off the northern coast of California with many aftershocks, but no injuries, no tsunami reported. All this week, large UFOs have been flying and hovering over areas in New York and New Jersey. The military has no idea what they are, whose they are, or where they come from, and apparently clueless what to do about it. Gives one great confidence in our ability to protect the nation, doesn't it? Meanwhile, Pope Francis has proclaimed a special Jubilee pilgrimage for gays and all LGBTQ plus people, Italian media announced this weekend. On September 5th, 2025, Catholic members of the LGBTQI plus community will be hosted by the Jesuit Church of the Gesù in central Rome for a vigil service. And today, Biden, with but 45 days left in his administration, has committed millions of dollars to Syria to help rebuild their country after the civil war and destruction in their land. Their land, not our land. But the good news of the week. Israel has now retaken biblical Mount Hermon from Syrian control and has stationed tanks in the buffer zone between the Golan Heights and Syria to protect against the possibility of rebels attacking Israel. If you are familiar with your Bibles, there is much in there about Mount Hermon. In the Old Testament, Mount Hermon was the absolute northernmost outpost of the nation of Israel. That was the border of Manasseh. That was their northernmost border. And it has now been retaken by Israel, who has not had control of Mount Hermon since their agreement in 1974 to cede that to Syria. So that is big, big news. Also, court orders the Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, to allow Good News Bible clubs at every public school. Liberty Counsel, a Christian legal advocacy firm representing Child Evangelism Fellowship, announced in late November its client received a permanent statewide injunction allowing the Good News Clubs, which is a weekly extracurricular gathering during which 5 to 12-year-old kids learn Bible lessons, recite memory verses, sing praise songs, and play games, to operate in every school district in Hawaii. As a result of the injunction, Good News Clubs will have the same access to school facilities as any other group. I'm going to close this out with a prayer from Dutch Sheets that he offered up this week on one of his Give Him 15 segments, and I thought it was very well done, as much of his work is extremely well done. The prayer: Father, you have begun a good work in our nation. You have raised up a remnant of people determined to birth revival and see America accomplish all you have destined for her. We are determined to see righteousness in our government once again, determined to see the young generation of Americans come to know you, and determined to see worldwide revival, at least a billion souls. We will not stop with only a foundation, as in the foundation of the temple in Jerusalem being rebuilt under Zerubbabel, which laid unfinished for 16 years. We will not stop with only a foundation. We will not yield to opposition, fear, confusion, unbelief, discouragement, or selfishness. We will finish this. We will finish this. Raise up Haggai's in our day with your words. Stir the hearts of your people. We ask for an infusion of strength and hope. We ask that mental fatigue and emotional weariness be broken off of the praying church, the remnant. Send the wind of Holy Spirit to us now, we pray. Stir up hearts that once burned with fire for revival and breakthrough but have now settled for less. Stir up the hearts of pastors who have chosen to settle for less than the fires of revival. Stir up intercessors who have allowed the fire to go out. Awaken us all to your passion in this hour. May there be a roar of intercession that is released in this nation and the nations of the earth. We ask you, rend the heavens and come down. We make these requests in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother Robert, to you.
Wow. Thank you, Bruce. Amen. Boy, there is a surely a lot going on in the world. You know, what infuriates me the most is that Governor Carpenter and Governor Niles up in New Hampshire are spearheading an effort within the Republic to bring relief to the folks in North Carolina. And when you say FEMA vouchers end, it's a total joke. Maybe with their voucher, they could purchase a tent at Walmart. You know, it was a big $750 for their voucher from FEMA. And what's just as infuriating is FEMA has been found denying different groups come in or bringing in temporary shelter. I know that, Franklin Graham's group has, and there's another group that, who's a prophet out of Iowa? What's her name again? Somebody can jump in to remind me her name.
Julie Green.
Thank you. Yeah, Julie. Thanks, Mark. Julie Green, and she's doing shelters, crisis shelters or something like that, a group she's working with. But anyway, these FEMA characters are denying these for lack of safety, or they don't meet building regulations or some sort of nonsense. Like, it's okay to go to Walmart, buy yourself a tent for your family and freeze as the weather changes here, but it's not okay to have an emergency shelter built because you've got some standard which is infuriating to me. That's what we're seeing on a local level. And in all of these reports you've given, Bruce, you have billions and billions of dollars exiting our country to help all these other supposed causes around the world as we rack up a humongous multi-trillion dollar debt in our country. To what purpose? How is that helping us? You look at the condition of our streets and our people. You've got tent cities emerging everywhere. Now, I'm going to open up the call for all of you who want to pray into the issues that Bruce has brought forward. We are clearly in a time where we need to be increase our vigilance. So those of you who I muted, I'm going to unmute you now. And anyone who wants to lift up a prayer, please do so now. Just state your name and go ahead.
Robert, this is Debbie.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I'm not ready to lift up the prayer. I want to help you end what you were just saying. Governor Niles and Governor Carpenter and Governor Lloyd here in North Carolina did find more water money for more water filters in North Carolina.
So praise
God. We have seven now.
You have seven units?
Uh-huh. And last week when we talked, we only had two. So this, I sense the same thing, all this money going out everywhere. We're so lucky to have $10,000 come into the Republic to Governor Niles in New Hampshire for five more water filters.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And that comes from willing hearts, folks who are willing to reach into their own pockets to help with a cause, which is that's an American spirit. And I think that those who are in the halls of government are abusing that seriously with what we're seeing with this waste of expenditure to other nations in this nation building. All right. I'm asking you to go ahead and lift up the concerns that Bruce has brought to us this evening.
This is Robin Schaefer in Alabama.
Go ahead.
Be devoted to one another in love. That's Romans 12:10. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's Acts 20:35. We've got a generous person will prosper. That's Proverbs 11:25. But loving Father, touch every public, past President Turner, President Geiger, and all their members. Touch all of us now with our healing hands, for I believe that your will is for us all to be well in mind, body, soul, and spirit. Cover all of us with the most precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Cast out anything from our republic and the world that should not be in any of us now. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men and women, especially our veterans, burn survivors, human trafficking survivors, the people from any of our disasters, whether it be fire, earthquakes, tornadoes, any other man-made disasters, and also the diseases. And I think of the 300 people, from what I understand, that were lost 10 or so years ago in the Republic for their families today. I did go to the hospital to see a long-term former client of mine who had a heart attack last week, and the infectious disease doctor came in trying to find, I guess, two different bacteria strands that are in her body, and I told him to check her teeth because of faulty dental work that I had had in my past. X-rays don't show infection if you have faulty dental work, and she's had crowns that have come off. So for all those people everywhere here and around the world that are suffering in any way, may God bless all of us, and hopefully that covers everything. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Alleluia. Governor Carpenter, do you want to weigh in on the on a prayer and conditions in North Carolina?
Sure. I'm going to take a little different approach, Robert, which I know that concerns you and doesn't surprise. But, you know, the Lord has written that the Lord inhabits our praises. And so coming at it from that aspect, it's amazing to watch how a little nudging of the Lord has exploded into this wonderful gift to humanity. And watch all the players and everybody come to the table, and how God is orchestrating that is quite amazing. I now know of two international humanitarian sources that are well known, that are aware of our cause. What I understand is committed to go ahead and take this technology and this gift worldwide. What's going on here is just the beginning of so many changes. And for us to be here tonight, to have participated in this seeding time and this watering time, our harvest is coming. And I say that with gratitude to Yeshua, our Heavenly Father, that's provided the way, the means, and will continue to provide and give us what we need to achieve the objective. So, praise you, Yeshua. Thank you for your mercies that endure forever, for your loving kindness, for your interceding in our behalf, and hearing the cries of your people, and allowing us to participate in providing that solution in your behalf, showing humanity your love and your face, your grace in our doing so. And what a wonderful opportunity to represent your kingdom government in the process. We give you the praise, the glory, all the glory, Yeshua. Amen, amen. So be it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful.
Robert?
Sure.
May I interject here? Hopefully I'm not out of order here. I wanted to say that the new prayer calendar came out today. And if you have not receive that in the mail. If you're not on the mailing list for that, it can be accessed on the Republic website. So I encourage you to go there, and Robert or somebody can tell you exactly how to find it there. But it's a good one.
Great, Bruce. Why don't you take a moment and also tell us the theme of this month in the month of Kislev. Is that something you have on the tip of your heart, on the tip of your mind?
Well, I've read the entire newsletter in 10 hours yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to. There's a lot of standing up, calling the body of Christ to stand up and take their position, to take back ground that has been taken by the enemy, and to press forward in the work that the Lord has placed upon our hearts. Some excellent, excellent words, much historical background about Israel and the Palestinian situation there, and much, much other stuff to go along with it. It's very, very well done by Brother Wade.
Very good. And what I really like about today, Bruce, is that it's a word that speaks to something close to your and Linda's heart.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The Esther work.
The Esther work. Is your lovely bride willing to read a few paragraphs of that to us tonight?
She doesn't have it up, so that's not going to happen. If you
well, it
have,
doesn't have to be, doesn't have to be right now.
Go for it, brother.
I'll let you work on it, and I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Very good. You know, one thing that has really come to me, to all of us on the call, is Wade has done this labor of love for 5 years now, bringing us a new calendar each month for the last 5 years. In that 5 years, to my knowledge, he missed one calendar, and that was when he was in surgery last month. And there is a quote that he gives from Scripture. He gives 1 Thessalonians 5:20, and it says, "Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophets' revelation, prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning." You know, and that really speaks to me personally. I don't come out of that part of the church that is into the prophetic, that that looks into the future and gives a word of encouragement. That's really not how I came into a relationship with Jesus. I came out of a ritualistic church, out of a Catholic church, where we were very devotional, but we were not relational at all. And then when God sent me on a search for Him, when my prayers weren't answered the way I thought in the rituals of doing the rosary, and He set me off to say, "There's more to me than this." So my searching for the Lord took me east and west into all sorts of disciplines. But when I came back to the foot of the cross, I got into reading what God's Word says in the Bible and discipling with men. And it became very much a relation builder and an understanding of His nature. And it wasn't at all listening to what the prophets say and going, "Oh, thus say so-and-so, that, you know, that's the word from God." So it has caused me to walk with an open mind in terms of, and discernment, in terms of what a lot of the prophets are saying. And we get a large calendar filled with prophetic. And I do encourage us all to read them prayerfully and to discern what God's saying to you. And like all things, you know, what is it? You chew it up and spit out the bones, the parts that aren't relevant to you. But this week, there was a prophetic that didn't make it on the calendar, but it was from you might know him. He was is a firefighter, or is a retired firefighter now. His name is Mark Taylor. Maybe you've heard of him. But he sounds an alarm that I think is very, very current to the tug of war that's going on in America right now, perhaps even the world, because the agenda of those in the power elite in America are also part of the power elite in England and the Vatican, etc. So I want to read, if I can, his prophecy, and it's called The Enemy Within. The Spirit of God says, I am a righteous and a holy God. There is no darkness in me. Why would I tolerate and compromise with darkness when there is no darkness in me? You compromise and tolerate that witch Jezebel and her mixture with the Illuminati witchcraft, New Age, Christianity, and patriotism, and you call it God? No, you vipers, I am not in any of that. You have become Nicolaitans, which I said I hate. That's a reference out of Revelation. Repent. It's a mixture of the mixture of witchcraft, New Age, Christianity, and patriotism, and calling it God that is wicked. Repent. I am the Lord God, am not in the mixture. What good is saving your country physically when you are sending it to an eternal death? I am the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Am the only one who can save your country, not some man, not some movement. Me and me alone. I am the only one who can save it. Repent. Did I not say there will be no idols before me? Yet you idolize man. Why do you trust man more than me? You are under a multi-generational brainwashing curse from the occult that has infiltrated every aspect of ministry. You have been taught and brainwashed into believing man, the false prophets, pastors, and leaders, more than me. Do you love your country more than me? How far are you willing to compromise my word and continue going against the kingdom of God? The Spirit of God says, can you not see that everything has been infiltrated by the dark side? The dark demonic forces have infiltrated those who call themselves Christians, churches, ministries, the prophetic, movies, music, your patriotic movements, and yes, even your alternative media. Can you not see this? Are you so desperate that you are willing to turn a blind eye? Are you so desperate that you would ask to join forces with the dark side rather than rely on me and my kingdom of light? You are being brainwashed into compromise, tolerance, and inclusivity to the point of joining forces with the dark side to save your country. Yes, it is a false unity and a counterfeit Christianity. Repent. When have I, the Lord God, ever joined forces with the dark side? Never. Indeed, I penetrated the darkness with my light. Can you not see you're being brainwashed into compromise and tolerate yoking with the kingdom of darkness by the false prophets, pastors, Illuminati, government agencies, Freemasons, and the New World Order to save your country? Can you not see that it's a false unity and a counterfeit Christianity they are pushing? Tolerance, compromise, and inclusivity are cowardice. What did I say in my word about cowards? Turn from your wicked ways, seek me, find me, turn back to me as your first love, and I will save your country. The Spirit of God says the mixture in the churches, ministries, the prophetic, and the patriotic movement has become an abomination to me. Woe, woe, woe to you leaders who are leading my people astray with mixture, fleecing the flock, brainwashing and mind-warping my people through words and technology. The bowls of sin are overflowing with these false leaders, false prophets, apostles, politicians, and leaders of all kind. You have prostituted your gifts, merchandising off of my people for personal gain and not for my kingdom. Did I, the Lord God, not turn over the tables in the temple for the same reason? Can you not see that your 501c3 is mixture and yoked with Baal? It is Baal slash church versus God, dark God, dark versus light. So he's combining here Baal worship and churches under the 501c3 versus God. We rely on our 501c3 structures. Your churches and ministries have become show business and are corrupt, brainwashing and programming my people with mixture. Therefore, your time is up. For some of you are being removed. Others shall hear, depart from me, I never knew you, and you shall be held accountable according to your deeds. These false prophets and pastors are snake oil salesmen for their God. Their God is not me. I have handed them over to their God who is coming to collect his dues, which is you. Repent may save your soul. Repentance may save your soul, but it will not stop my judgment and justice. Did I not give a prophetic sign to at Churchill Downs? What was the horse's name that won? How many horses died? That was a sign of how many spiritual leaders, those who have come in my name but are riding in on sorcery, that shall be taken. It has already begun. The Spirit of God says, you talk about being politically left or right. Do you not think that happens spiritually? Why are so many of my people on the left spiritually, the dark side? Why are they so quick to compromise and tolerate the left spiritually, but yet you don't tolerate the left politically? You hypocrites, repent. The Spirit of God says, why do you tolerate the warping of your minds? The warping of your mind is to make that which is unrighteous look righteous in the eyes of my people. It is to make the unrighteous things look so innocent. The enemy comes disguised as an angel of light. Innocence. Innocence is the crack in the door, gate or portal that the enemy enters. I, the Lord, never yoke with witchcraft or New Age. That was made to look so innocent in order to spread my gospel to save a country. If I spoke a word and created the universe, can I not speak a word and save a country? The time has come when the people have chosen their side. You are either for me or against me. There are no gray areas. If you are in the gray, you are against me. You cannot have one foot in the enemy's camp and one in mine and say that you are of me. Repent. So he goes on, and I won't read the rest of it. It's quite a long posting. But I tell you, it speaks so courageously, at least to me, about some of the things we face even here in the Republic. I have been involved in vetting. And, you know, there are... Praise God, this Republic is really based on a strong conviction of believers in the Bible, believers in Jesus Christ, that it's only God who can save our Republic. James Timothy Turner says that it's God's Republic, and he is the one who will raise it up again. So there is compromise. There's a tendency to want to compromise. What we see, at least in some of the vetting, is there really is a very strong influence of Freemasonry in our country. And we have to guard against it as we rebuild the Republic, because they are the ones who have created all the edifices and all the structures and what's going on in Washington, D.C. And, you know, when we peel back the mask to know who are we compromising with, it's not just in our schools, it's not just in our education system. We have to really be vigilant of that as we rebuild the Republic. So, I find that a very strong word today from Mark Taylor. He prophesied it on the 2nd of December, but I find it to be something that we need to be very vigilant about. On the other side of the coin, what I've been noticing with the prophecies coming through is on Elijah streams. So last week we had Johnny Enlow speak about the Republic and all the stuff that's going on with regards to what we're actually doing with boots on the ground. And then this week we see another prophet come out who's an actual personal friend of Pastor Wade Butler, and that is Barry Wunsch. And so Barry is doing a prophecy on Elijah streams this week, and I wanted to take time for us to hear it. I want to take time for us to hear it, just the portion that is regarding his vision of what's happening in the Republic. Now, I don't know, everybody hears from God a different way. This is an audio only, and you will hear the man stutter a little bit. It looks to me like he's being, affected by the Spirit as he brings forth this word. And it's indicative to me of the battling, the fact that his body is not easily able to share the word. It symbolizes the battle. The battle is so intense, it's almost hard to speak it out and speak the words. But it was so exciting for me to have heard in it, and you too. I guess Bruce has already heard it because he sent it to me earlier this week, is that the work that you and I are doing to rebuild this Republic is actually being noticed in the heavenlies. And that's just like thrilling. For me, it's thrilling anyway. So I hope you're blessed by this. So take a moment and hear what Barry has to say.
Let's move on to your November 27th prophetic word of strategic plans for the Republic.
Yeah, I mean this is kind of a heavy word.
I'm just going to interrupt this to ask you, can you hear the audio in that okay? I had to audio record it onto my computer and then upload it. Can you hear them okay in the audio? Somebody answer.
Hey, Robert, turn it up a little bit. It'd probably be a little better, at least for me.
You do what? Turn it up?
Yes, turn the volume up just a little bit for me. That'd be great.
I'm not sure how to do that because it's a recording in the broadcast, so...
That's okay.
I'll try. Okay, very good. I'll try doing my best. Okay, thanks.
I want to mention, Kelsey, before I get really into this, is the need for prayer right now. And the Lord is exposing the enemy's plans, and so along with what I share, this is actually also a call to prayer. And I cannot emphasize enough that we need to hit these things with that strategic, weaponized prayer and intercession, because the enemy obviously has some plans, that he wants to play out, but we know God has got better intentions, but we have to engage. It's not time to keep our faith on the couch. And so, I mean, really, we need God now more than ever. And often after a big victory, we want to sometimes relax and figure we've got it, under control. That actually is often when we're most vulnerable. So really, actually, right now, I believe to the end of January, we're in a very, very, heavy kind of time. So, so with that being said, I think, is it okay if I just get into this and share?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I had on Tim Sheets yesterday, and he said the exact same thing as that. He was like, we can't be complacent at this time, and a lot of prophets are saying that right now. Yes, we've won victory, but still, we're watchmen. So I just wanted to say that's something we're hearing consistently.
Okay, well, from what I'm seeing now prophetically, I mean, there's still a lot of things going on, off screen, so to speak, and we really are in a game of 5D chess, right now. So we're seeing certain things on a natural narrative, and but there's some things just the math isn't adding up and that. So for several weeks, I've been seeing some things going on that just seem to be, happening off the radar. And so I'll do my best here to kind of articulate everything that Holy Spirit's taken me into. So in this case, the Holy Spirit took me in to some meetings with President Trump. And these were not typical everyday meetings. These were meetings that kind of, to me, represented and resembled, you know, founding fathers forging the rebirth, the rebirthing of a nation. And the meeting spaces had been carefully planned and selected, and his inner trusted core carried the assignments and these meetings with the utmost discretion, you know, to keep them off the radar, and with great outcomes, as they've been putting in all the pieces together for greater things ahead. So in one particular meeting, I was taken into the Spirit, and I saw Jesus standing at the end of the table over the shoulder of President Trump, with his hand on the president's shoulder and another hand on the table. And the Lord was overseeing that which had been assigned to him. Now, there were two angels posted at the door. Mm-hmm. There was a dozen governmental angels in the room. I mean, they had these red sashes, you know, on. You know, they were just kind of standing the perimeter, just kind of overseeing what was going on. And I believe probably waiting for assignments, you know, as things were happening. So if there was this hand-picked, ordained gathering that, you know, had been given assignments, and, you know, they were being vetted and, you know, vetting people and sorting out different ones. And I'll say with the greatest care and oversight, like this was like a fine-tooth comb and a magnifying glass. And so I was aware that there was a house cleaning also going on, that there were some bad actors that were not going to be part of the bigger plan, you know, that it was at hand. So, you know, there were some that, you know, they couldn't be trusted, and they were so entrenched in the old that they were actually a hindrance to the new. And, you know, they have to be removed. And
these
and
are people that are with Trump now.
Yes, that was my understanding.
Okay.
Now the main core there had been working on this for many years, and, you know, they were now very close to making, you know, some things happen. And really, the, you know, this was the moment that they'd been waiting for. And I also knew by the Spirit of God that these ones had been walking in, you know, a very difficult road to put this together. And many of the team didn't actually make it this far. You know, some had been taken out overtly, covertly, I should say, and you know, by unlawful, you know, ways and means. Yeah. And there were others that were put under threat, but they were moving forward ever so carefully, you know, not to put themselves or others at risk. So there were also others that had been part of this team that had been so attacked with physical afflictions, illness, others financial distress. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just hit with it all. You know, the enemy did all he could to stop them from fulfilling their roles in God's bigger plan.
Yeah.
So I'm in this meeting, and here they had a set of, they were very ornate gold binders.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
And on the cover it said, Strategic Plans for the Republic.
Wow.
And on the face, on the front of these, you know, these binder cover, there was an old steam engine, like an old train.
Mm-hmm.
On the front of the train, you know, they got the big stack, and the
mm-hmm.
and on the front, there's this number 45 mm-hmm. on this train. So anyway, I'm looking at these plans, and now there was no doubt that these were God-loving, God-fearing men and women. that were gathered here, you know, they were working on the rebirth of the Republic of the United States of America. Now, I saw that, you know, that you could feel that there was a collapse that was coming, and these guys, they were ready to go when that time came to do so. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the corporation of the United States of America, it was bankrupt, and along with the Federal Reserve, it was hanging on by a thread. And the Lord had released angels of justice, and they were doing the bidding for the tasks at hand. Oh. Now, the stripping out and the consequences were clearly coming, you know, to the bad actors, the criminals, you know, the treasonous officials, you know, on every level of bureaucracy and every agency.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I'm there. The next thing I know, I'm taken in to the DOJ and the FBI. And I mean, they were in their offices. I mean, they're packing their bags, you know, getting out of Dodge. I mean, they were on the run.
Good.
And I mean, they tried to destroy, shred, you know, get rid of evidence on the way out. But the Lord had gone ahead of them, and there was nothing that was going to be missing. I mean, there were, you know, remain copies of everything that would be needed to bring justice. But they were, nevertheless, they were in a full panic mode. So I'm taken in to another place, and I see the generals in the white hats, and they were in a briefing. You know, they were being positioned with these leaders that were preparing the rebirth. And the National Guard was also there, and they were on notice, and they were given the highest level of trust, like with an understanding of, you know, what was going on. So that was, you know, very acute. Now, they were all aware of the deep state's high-level threats to President Trump and the American people and the elevated state of high alert. Now, the demonically driven deep state was more than prepared to take drastic actions to stop the January 6, 2025, you know, election certification and President Trump's January 20th inauguration. And, you know, the deep state had assets and cells inside and outside the establishment to deploy the darkest of agendas. Now, just as the enemy had assets in place, so did the Lord. They were undercover agents as well as angelic hosts that were embedded working on his behalf. And so the Lord had strategically put these ones in those places for this time. Now, the Lord was going to use this to, you know, all of this to expose and overturn everything as needed. So next thing I know, the Lord takes me into the Spirit into Washington, D.C. And, you know, there I was met by a group of angels, and they took me on a little tour. They took me to two buildings in D.C., and they'd excavated out the corner foundations on a couple of these buildings.
Did you know what buildings they were?
I believe one was the White House.
Wow.
And I believe the other was the Senate. And so, anyway, I'm in there, and, you know, they expose these foundations, and they've got these Masonic cornerstones, you know, for me to see. Now these cornerstones, they've been intentionally laid, and they gave vector points to build other Masonic-related design, architecture, and infrastructure, you know, into D.C. So at that point, looking at this, and I'm acutely aware of the spiritual foundation and battle that was at hand to see the rebirth of the nation on godly foundations.
Oh, my goodness.
And so as I'm writing this out, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Barry, call my people to prayer. Prayer and fasting during this time. Barry, tell my people that this is first and foremost a spiritual battle.
Yes.
This is not a political battle, but a spiritual one.
Yeah.
The enemy is intent to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is after the birthright of this nation and generations to come. And the balance of America is at stake, as are the nations.
Mm.
Call my people to pray and fast and come against the dark plans of the enemy. Call my people to worship me and shift the atmosphere over this nation.
Mm.
Call my people to stand in the light and be the light in dark places. Barry, tell my people it's time to take it to the public square.
Mm.
Oh, break up the fallow ground and prepare for the harvest is at hand. Barry, tell my people that this is a time of strategic tactical intercession. This nation shall be built on my foundations, not the foundations of false gods. Let my people know that I'm going to use what the enemy is intended for evil to bring a great awakening
yes.
and revival to America
yes.
the beautiful. She shall fulfill her destiny.
Yes.
So hold fast unto me as I am to you. Watch and see my redemption flow through this great land, for there is nothing that will stand in my way to see my people free.
Yes.
And holy is the word of the Lord.
Wow.
So, pretty cool that the prophets are seeing the labor that we are doing in the field, and that there is such an angelic reinforcement and support behind us. So really called to a time of fasting and prayer. And so I'm going to encourage all of you who are prayer warriors to take these things to heart, to recognize that all of the turmoil and chaos that's erupting that Brother Bruce shared with us earlier in a call is truly the shaking that's going on. And it's clear that God in the heavens and his angelic hosts are here for our victory, and we need to steward it and guard it. Mark Carroll, it's time for you, sir, to bring us to a word and into communion.
Amen. Praise God. So when you asked me to lead us in communion, I just saying a prayer, and what the Lord put on my heart was write what you read, that Jesus is the bread of life, and as you reminded us, as the word reminds us, as Jesus said, he did not, all that the Father gave him, he did not lose any except the one, Judas. And so that is for all of us. We are God's children, adopted into his family because of Jesus. And Jesus did not lose any of us. So I am going to read from Matthew 26. And so the disciples, so I hope you have your elements, you know, some bread and juice or wine or whatever. And this is the Last Supper, right? The Passover that was celebrated, partaken with his disciples. And as we will remember, so the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, that one will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? And he replied, one of those who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. And then it goes on to say, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is my body. And so let's take the bread together. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So let's take the wine together. And then I thought this was interesting, and then they sang a hymn and went on to the Mount of Olives, which we know that's where Jesus suffered the travails and began the sacrifice that he made for us. So, Father God, we give thanks, Lord, for who you are, for your love for us, God, so much so that you sent your one and only Son. And Jesus, we give thanks for the sacrifice, your perfect life that you lived, given up for us. You laid it down for us so that we could be reconciled with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, God, we just pray this knowledge over our brothers and sisters, those on the call and those that will hear, that, God, we are your children because you say so. We are brothers and sisters to you, Jesus, because you had not lost any of us. So, God, help us to take heart in that. Help us to remember the truth of that. Help it to reverberate through our lives, God, through our families, through our communities, God, through this nation, through this world, God, as we prepare for the celebration of your birth, Jesus. That you bring joy to the world, God, that you fulfilled scriptures that were prophesied long ago, the plan that you, Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit had from the beginning of time. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, I want to see you high and lifted up, all honor and glory to you, God. And it's in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray all these things. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the closest I had to a hymn, Mark. So I'll have to download a hymn. I like that. I never realized that the disciples went singing hymns before they went out. That was good after communion.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Well, Linda, it is time for us to look to close the call with a prophecy on an area that's dear to your heart. So it was given by Veronica West on November 21st. So you have the floor, sister.
Well, this is Brother Bruce. I am looking for this November 21st Are we in the calendar?
Yeah, you're on page 60.
Veronica, all right, I got you. Veronica West.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to speak and write the truth only? She said, I decree it's time for the remnant to arise and prophesy to 2025. I declare 2025 will be a year to thrive, to be revived, and to be established in the divine plan and purposes of God. As we prophesy into 2025, it will pave the way. It will build and establish a highway for a greater manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles in the year ahead. There is a call to come up higher, to ascend the mountain of the Lord, to come into a deeper place of intimacy and divine encounter with His presence. Furthermore, the year 5785 is symbolized by the Hebrew letter He, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which the shape of the Hebrew letter resembles an open window or an open space. There is an invitation from heaven in this hour to look through and see things from God's redemptive and restorative perspective for the nations. 2025, which is 5785 in the Hebrew calendar, will hold special and powerful prophetic significance as the new year begins and ends with the number 5. In biblical symbolism, the number 5 represents grace, God's unmerited favor, and divine empowerment. So as we advance into the new year, the prophetic significance of the number 5 will speak prophetically to God's abundance, His unmerited favor, and His divine empowerment to overcome every obstacle. Moreover, the number 5 also signifies the fivefold ministry. God is beginning to bring a greater alignment within the body of Christ for the reformation of the fivefold and the rise of kingdom reformers in the nations of the earth. See Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In this hour, we are being supernaturally equipped, empowered, and divinely enabled as a mighty remnant army to war with from the deeper realms and dimensions of His glory and revelation for divine restoration and reformation within nations. So prepare your hearts and come with the fresh word of the Lord in your mouth, and by faith, let us put a demand on the power of God for a greater manifestation of healing, restoration, and revival in our nation. I decree 2025, 5785, will be marked by God's supernatural favor, increase, and overflow for kingdom advancement and expansion on earth. And she ends with Ephesians 4:11-12. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Bruce. You know, I look at that and I look at the shakeup that's going on in the church as well, and it's exciting because the fivefold ministry isn't spoken of very much within the body of Christ. It is in some select circles, yourself included, but it's exciting to see it being spoken out into next year. We might see some wonderful changes in the church.
I would like to add something, if I might. I didn't have a computer in front of me, so Bruce, my other half, had to read it. But for those of you that read every now and then or every day on Elijah's list, the word that was on Elijah's list this morning was talking about, again, the Esther-Mordecai work that's coming in our nation. And I say that to say that I think is one of the things you were talking about over and over and over again. It is confirmed by different prophets. And the Lord told us in 2011 that he's no respecter of persons. What he did for them, he would do for us if we call it forth. So as my way of intercession much of the time is to declare the Esther work that is ours in our time and our season, and we are seeing it manifest before our eyes.
Robert, I have that word. This is from Rosangela Atta from British Columbia. And she was taken into a vision, and she was in this vision. She was walking with a couple of angels down a long red carpet, came up to a white building. And she said, in quotes here, "The white building represents the new year, new season, and new assignment that you are about to walk in. Just as Mordecai, Esther's, and the Israelites' lives and destinies were completely redeemed and transformed when the king opened his book of remembrance, so will your life, destiny, and the ones of those around you be completely transformed as I remember you and reward you for what you have done. As you walk into the fullness of your destiny and identity in me, you will manifest my glory on the earth. What the enemy meant for evil, I will turn it for good. He will hang on the gallows meant for you. You will finish the year with a bang. This will be a December to remember, says the Lord your God."
Woo! Hallelujah. God reigns. Wonderful word. Wonderful. Well, before I close the call, who would like to close us with a word of prayer? Mark Binder, would you like to do that? Or
absolutely. And just want to mention the Barry Wunsch prophecy that you played. I posted the written part, a link to the written part in the National Emergency Wire Chat. If you wanted to look at that in writing.
Praise God.
That works great. Yes, sir. Father Yahweh, hear our prayer. Thank you for all the people around the world that are standing against all forms of tyranny. Thank you for all who are spreading your word throughout this land. And thank you for your plan of salvation that is available to whomever will claim it. You are the same yesterday as you are today, as you will be tomorrow. Be with us today and every day as we gather together and praise your holy name. Help us to be faithful and true to our callings. Strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit as we strive to be useful to your plan of standing in our beloved republic. Bring us out of the bondages of corporate slavery and teach us what true liberty is all about. We pray for those who are going through tough times, losing loved ones, losing jobs, families being divided, and countries being divided, and soldiers resigning their commissions because of incompetent leaders. Make you give all strength to continue in valor and battle, Father. And we might as well put the gospel armor on too as well. That's Ephesians 6:12, verse 18. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye all shall be quenched all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So, Father, we ask that you watch over us, you guide us, direct us, and lead us to do your will to the glory of your holy name. Help us to always observe the law of nature and nature's God, Father. Put domes of protection around us, around our family, around our friends, around our true presidents, our true military, our true prophets and true patriots and true Christians all around the world, Heavenly Father. Send your angels to encamp round about us to take care of all the attacks by the enemy and return to that enemy sevenfold, Heavenly Father. We pray all this according to your will, your word, and your plan, and according to the mighty name of Yeshua, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, Mark.